are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 4th of May. The Utah Jazz looking more and more comfortable as a team without Mike and Don. Is San Antonio in a time machine? Plus, a power ranking Tuesday, all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. Hope you're doing well. Thanks very much for tuning in. One note, Apple sucks. Okay. That's probably not the most professional comment I've ever made, but considering the fact they did a whole upgrade to Apple 13.5 and it has not updated numerous podcasts, including Locked On Jazz, since the 29th of April, I'm not so pleased with them right now. So, unfortunately, download the new Odyssey app, listen on Spotify, find a new podcast provider. A lot of people use Overcast. I use Podcast Addict and CastBox. I use Google, but that unfortunately is the reality right now on that. So sorry, I know that's inconvenient, and we would love to have it be changed, but they upgraded. It's a unique word, use of the word upgrade. They did that, and it didn't work. Odyssey app is kind of cool also because you get to stream all of their sports radio stations across the country. So just to throw out there. All right, so I just had to. Yeah, I'm not pleased. Today's show is brought to you by Locker Room. This episode brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from iOS App Store. Find one of the Locker Room. Changing the way we talk about sports. All right, I just thought from a big picture standpoint, we're seeing Quinn Snyder do his stuff again. So, all right, few things on last night. We talked about it the day before. We had to win last night because the Spurs were in the midst of a absolutely brutal and are still scheduling stretch. They will play two games in a row in the same city only once from April 23rd to May 15th, and that's these two games. So they went New Orleans, Washington, Miami, Boston on the road, home for Philadelphia, at Utah, at Sacramento, at Portland, home for Milwaukee, at Brooklyn, at New York. It's brutal. And so last night, the Jazz got them playing their sixth game in six cities since the 24th with back-to-back overtime games. And the Jazz came out with just fabulous energy last night. So the first thing out of the chute, absolutely fabulous energy by the Jazz. Royce looked like he was shot out of a cannon. Rudy, the contrast to the night before, rightfully so, by the way. Like, let me make sure this is like, for those of you out there who think they should be able to bring energy every night and have decided that because they get paid $8 million or $30 million that they're no longer human beings, I'm not with you on this conversation. So I would tell you that the fact of the matter is the fact that they gutted through that Toronto game and found a way to win it, to me, is wildly impressive. That was a really big win in the season. And to get last night was, the other guys were tired. We're going to have this happen. It's why, you know, I was texting with someone the other day before the games last night, and there's like, I think Denver can win out. And I was like, nobody can win out right now. Nobody can win out. Like, Phoenix has been amazing, and maybe they're going to keep this going. It's hard to believe that they have just such an internal juice right now. But, you know, they're about to go back-to-back to Cleveland, Atlanta, come home for one, go back to L.A., back to Golden State, home for one, at Spurs. That's pretty brutal. Like, they all of a sudden don't play in the same town twice in a row again until they play in the last two games of the year in San Antonio. That's, I think, going to wear them out at some point, and they're going to drop some games here. But I thought, you know, the other thing I thought last night, and these are, I'll get to my analytics, don't worry, I haven't, like, lost my mind. Well, the other thing I thought last night is we just looked more together. We talked about it a little bit on the show the other day that you're watching Quinn figure out what works and what doesn't. And our rotations last night weren't totally different, but all of a sudden, like, Trent Forrest matched with Derek Favors for some minutes. Mia Oney played the 10th man last night, or other nights it's been Ilyasova or Matt Thomas. So Quinn's just kind of playing with the various matchups of what he thinks he can work with. I thought the interesting one last night, I was concerned going into the game that Trent Forrest would have a hard time with Patty Mills, and that did not turn out to be the case at all. Patty Mills was actually pretty feckless last night. The Jazz little runs last night were interesting. They happened at 10-4 with the Bogdanovich, Clarkson, Trent Forrest, Favors, Oney group on the floor for some of it. Royce was on it for others, but we talked about, you know, Royce as a non-shooter and Trent Forrest as a non-shooter. And so Quinn's keeping Bogdanovich and Clarkson on the floor for those matchups. That same group, but with Royce O'Neal, went on a 17-4 run in the middle of the second quarter, and then the starters blew the game out to open the third. So I think you're seeing, and also play calling and what works and what doesn't. This is where Quinn's just the master. Is this, you know, he sees this team, now he's figuring out what it is, and then they're going to have to work it back. Like, Boyan's been just remarkable, and, you know, what he's getting is the basketball. And probably the number one thing we have not talked about a lot, I brought it up at the very beginning of the season, but then I put it on the back burner, and it's a hard one to express, because it sounds like you're saying there's something wrong with this. But we have too many scorers. Like, okay, that sounds like there's a problem. All right, we have a lot of scorers is probably the way to phrase it. And so, you know, Bojan Bogdanović has games where Bojan Bogdanović went from February 22nd to March 29th with 5, 7, 8, 9 games in there where he takes less than 10 shots in a game. Well, that's a pretty big hit. Now, some of that was that he lacked confidence, did he lack confidence because he's not getting shots? Last year, he averaged 15 shots a game. This year, he's averaging 12. That's really big. Like, it's only 3 shots. It's only a shot a quarter. Seems like maybe not that big a deal to you, but as a player, where you're suddenly losing, you know, about 20% of your shot attempts is a lot. And that's truthfully, when you count our possessions at the beginning of the year with Donovan, Mike, Joe, Boyan, 3 20-point-a-game scorers, and then other guys that use possessions, why Royce, frankly, for his lack of possession usage, might be the key piece to our whole team. And then, you know, Jordan is taking the most shots he's ever taken in his career. Jordan's up from 13 shot attempts to 15. Well, that's 2 shots right there. And we've changed the rotation on Boyan. Mike Conley, you know, it was up from 12 to 13 shots a game. This is where, you know, Donovan's up from 19.4 to 20.6. That's a shot and a half a game. Everyone's taking, you know, 1 or 2 more shots. And Boyan, you know, Royce is up a half a shot or 2 a game. George Niang, I'm certain, is up about a half a shot a game. Like, everyone's up except for Boyan. And that's because, one, the way we're playing, that's what was available to him and the way we changed our rotation. And that's some of what the slump is. So his emergence right now without Donovan is not coincidental. In fact, there was a post game the other day where Joe and Mike Conley were like kind of joking about that neither of them has a big game unless the other one's out. And there's something to that too, because Joe likes to play with the ball in his hands. He was dominant the first quarter last night. Absolutely fabulous. And the controlling the game, but he's playing point guard right now. Well, when Mike and Donovan come back, he suddenly becomes our third point guard again. And how does he adjust to that? And has to go back to shooting Joe. And I talked about this a lot in the bubble last year, that what I wanted from Joe was him to play Boyan, which was to go, you know, get up the floor early and get those early threes that Boyan gets in transition. Well, Boyan last year was the one who took the most shots for us in transition. This year, I don't think that's true. I think a lot of other guys are now taking that shot as well. So it's an interesting kind of dance that we have to play as a team. And what we're watching right now is that Quinn's beginning to figure out this dance, and then he's going to have to redo this dance. Now, do we have enough time to redo it? I don't know. The irony is we went to the bubble last year and had to figure out how to play without Boyan, and then came back out of the bubble playing a different way, and Boyan was the one that never fully assimilated. Now we're going to have to figure out how to play after Boyan became the lead dog of everything in this stretch. So kind of an interesting little contrast to what's going. I wouldn't have there's not a better coach in the league to try to figure that out, but it certainly is clear. San Antonio did the pivot that we've seen. We saw throughout the year, it's becoming really clear there's only one way to play us. We'll talk about that. And then is San Antonio in a time machine, or is Rudy Gobert just like crazy, crazy, crazy dominant? We'll have to, we'll look at that here in just 1 second. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai, located at 4646 South State Street, also located in Logan and in Linden. Always enjoy the good people over at Murdoch Hyundai. Called over yesterday about some crack windshield. Nicest people every single time. I am driving the Elantra right now. It is the North American car of the year. My wife actually drove it to St. George for the weekend. It's just incredible. My son drove it the other day and was like, whoa. The one we're driving is a little bit more expensive. It's $26,000, but they start at $19,200. Every bell and whistle you could imagine, and it's why it won North American Car of the Year. At $20,000, you're getting adaptive cruise control, backup camera, blind spot monitor, collision avoidance, all Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, all of those various features, plus an amazing car. And then the one my son, this was pretty funny, that my son pointed out, like, oh my gosh, Dad, I was driving up and it said I was getting 45 miles to the gallon. And I'm like, yep. And he's like, wow. So it's just an amazing car. That's the Elantra right now. The Sonata is the little bit higher end. And it is sporty and solid of the sedans. And then the SUV lineup is the little Kona, which is zippy and fun. It's kind of like the Subaru Crosstrek. The Tucson, the Santa Fe, which we own two of. And then the beautiful, absolutely gorgeous Palisade is just fabulous and beautiful. And just that is just a... That is a masterful car. It's all over at Murdoch Hyundai. Email me first at dlock09. That's dlock09@gmail.com. dlock09@gmail.com to let me know if you're heading over there. I'll set you up with a meeting. They're also in Linden and in Logan. Any of those locations, and we can help you out. This episode today is brought to you by Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download. And once you're in, you can talk with fans, athletes, insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. Locker Room is a perfect place to start and join conversations around. Our Locked On hosts are hosting parties all around Locker Room. Watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns. So don't miss out on it. NBA, MLB, NHL hosts are all in there. Ben Dowsett does a nice Jazz locker room as well. I have not gotten into locker room yet, so I'll turn that over to Ben and let him have his day in there. Go download the free Locker Room app currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter. Join NFL, MLB, NHL group for the latest league updates. I know you'll find a ton of incredible rooms. Have fun. Locker Room, changing the way we talk about sports. All right, so the Spurs did a little pivot, and this we actually saw this a lot early in the year when we played people. We've seen it less recently. I don't know necessarily. This actually was like going back in time, it felt like, a little bit on the season. So if you go back to our very first game with the Spurs, which was on the sixth game of the year, you know, Popovich came out, and you can often look. This is what's so kind of fun about our Jazz team. It's like, what poison did they pick? So they came out against us and decided they weren't going to let Rudy get to the rim. And we crushed him. We had 120 offensive rating that day. I think we had 21 threes that day. The shot chart was all threes, catch and shoot threes, open look threes, all of those various things. And that was, you know, that was how we played. Well, it was very obvious early in this ball game that Pop had changed that. They were hugging shooters. At least Ron and I's opinion was the Jazz were running just a ton of pick and roll in the middle of the floor and trying to see, and being able to get Rudy on the roll or Joe coming off to double stagger all the way to the basket. And they were hugging on their shooters, not wanting to give up the corner three shots. And the Jazz just did what they've done all year long, which is just adapt beautifully. And then Rudy had a monster night because that's what happened. So if you look at the first matchup, we had 41 three attempts. We took 21. We made 21. Our offensive rating was at 120. Last night, we we got 36. We only made 11 threes. They hugged. We ended up only with a 135 offensive rating last night. So we weren't quite as good, but in turn, Rudy dominated and our defense was so good that some of that number is a little misleading because you just, when you're up 20, you just cruise and numbers aren't as real. In our first matchup with the Spurs, and this is, I thought this was pretty interesting. So in the first matchup with the Spurs, we got 9 corner threes. We went 17 of 32 on above the break threes. We had 28 shots at the rim. We took 20 mid-range shots. Last night, we end up with 29 shots at the rim. So not a huge difference. We went 21 of 29. So they have just no rim protection. They did force us into 20 kind of in the floater zone shots. We only took 3 long twos. But we still ended up, by the end of the night, despite what they were trying to do defensively, we swung the ball and moved it around and got 14 corner threes, which is a really high number. What we didn't get last night was the above-the-break threes. We only got 22 above-the-break threes last night, which is the lowest percentage three. That is the lowest total of above-the-break threes that we've had in any game all season long other than one other game with 22. So when you see that, you know that there's clearly a defensive strategy that took place. The other game this year was Atlanta, where you recall Lloyd Pierce, I thought actually really caused us problems for a while, just hugged our shooters all night long and did not let us get threes. So the Spurs, very clearly, who are the number one transition defensive team in the league, were like, we are not going to offensive rebound at all. We're going to get back defensively. We're not going to give you those early threes, and we're not giving the above the break threes. And the Jazz actually swung it around enough to get 14 corner threes and still dominate them in the paint, which was interesting. The other one that was incredible is the archaic shot chart of the San Antonio Spurs last night. With 38 seconds, actually, I think we can take it to 30 seconds left in the quarter. In the second quarter, with 30 seconds left in the second quarter last night, the San Antonio Spurs have taken 5 shots at the rim. They are 0 for 5. They have taken 11 shots in the paint non-restricted. They've made an insane 9 of 11. They've taken 16 long twos. They're an incredible 10 of 16. They are 19 of 27 in the paint non-restricted area twos. 19 of 27. Unheard of. They are 0 of 6 on threes. I'm not sure what's more stunning, that they only had 6 threes and 5 shots at the rim, or that they hadn't made one. The Jazz literally did not allow a three or a shot at the rim for the first 23 minutes and 30 seconds of this game. It's absolutely like unheard of. The whole entire NBA today is about getting to the rim or shooting threes. And like, let's be perfectly clear. The entire NBA is not wrong about this. This is actually the right way to play. What San Antonio is doing offensively is mind-blowing. And then when you add Rudy to it, and they just simply weren't going to take a shot against Rudy. Rudy's defensive rating in the first quarter was a 92. We were good the whole time. Favors was very good. The whole team was very, very good the whole game. Trent Forrest, quite a good defensive player. The whole team was good. I don't want to just highlight Rudy here, but there's no question that Rudy had a tremendous impact last night. So Rudy's defensive rating last night was a 92 in the first quarter. It was a 76.5 in the second quarter. I think I've said these numbers enough, but let me just say them again on Rudy Gobert. Number one in the NBA pick and roll defender by 0.05 points. Fourth best isolation defender in the NBA. Defends the most shots in the NBA, 20 a game. Players shoot 7% below average if he's the closest defender. They shoot 14 percentage points below average when he's the closest defender inside 6 feet. When he gets switched out on someone and they shoot a three-pointer, they shoot 34% on threes. I mean, it's just crazy. Last night, they were 8 of 19 shooting when Rudy was the defender, 0 of 2 from 3. Every night. And some of that, frankly, is a little misleading because DeMar DeRozan snaking around on his various little routes and then pulling for a mid-range jumper where we don't foul him, which is all we really want to do, is in some ways on Rudy. Like, Royce O'Neal looks like he got torched by DeMar DeRozan last night. DeMar DeRozan goes 8 of 11 shooting against Royce last night, but maybe the most important number, you don't really want him going 8 of 11, but he shot it well, was 0 free throw attempts. DeMar DeRozan came in the last 5 games averaging 13 free throw attempts a game. And the Jazz, I think, gave him 2 last night. Maybe 3. Guys who got shots off against Rudy last night, Poeltl 2 of 5. Gorgui Dieng actually played pretty well, 2 of 4. Keldon Johnson, 1 of 3. DeJounte Murray, 1 of 2. DeRozan just 1. Like, you just weren't. You weren't getting. And 1 free throw attempt the entire game off Rudy defending. That is the other part about Rudy that's just on this remarkable season he's having. That has probably not been talked about enough. But Rudy Gobert, as of right now, has 180 block shots and has committed 150 fouls. That's a big one. Like, I don't quite grasp that. So anyway, the other last one I would say on last night's game, I think Quinn's beginning to be very concerned about the minutes of his guys. He ran the, rightfully so, frankly. He ran the bench unit like a little bit more. Like Boyan played 33, but Rudy played 30. Royce and Joe were at 32. They only got pulled the last minute. Like I think Trent Forrest played 21 last night. Favors, I think we could see go up to 19 or 20 here pretty soon. Like we're beginning to see, like, can I just slice 3 minutes a night off guys' load because their load is so much higher right now with the burden because of the Jazz don't have Donovan and Mike. And so I think we're beginning to see that a little bit as well. All right, Power Ranking Tuesday. I'm pretty curious to see where everybody is on Power Ranking Tuesday. Like, I haven't looked. I've actually stopped looking before the segment because I think it makes it a little bit more fun for me, frankly. Then I get to be kind of with you on what it's like. But, you know, I would have said that the Clippers were like the number one team for power ranking. And then Sunday night, Denver beats them. And everybody's going to put out their power rankings after that game. And so I'm wondering where Denver is, the Lakers, the Phoenix Suns could be number one. We have enough injuries going on with Brooklyn that I begin to wonder, like, whether or not, you know, people are where. So we'll check our, do our power rankings coming up here in just a minute. Today's show is brought to you in part by our friends at rockauto.com. Unique, old school, fun, amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. It's rockauto.com. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low. Same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much on the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts your car or truck will ever need. Right, Locked On, the How'd You Hear About Us section, so they know who sent you. Everything from engine control modules to brake pads to tail lamps to motor oils to new carpet. Whether it's your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need. It's a few easy clicks directly delivered to your door. Rockauto.com, unique catalog, remarkably easy to navigate, amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. It's rockauto.com. Let's start our Power Ranking Tuesday with betonline.ag and where they have things. By the way, Clayton Kershaw's on the mound tonight, is that a day game today? Day game today for the Dodgers against the Cubs. That's a fun one at Wrigley. That's pretty classic. That's a tune-in baseball game right there. Dodgers are -1.5 on that one. Giants and the Rockies playing early today as well. Tuesday day games. Don't know why. All right, let's get to the NBA futures from betonline.ag. So this is basically their power rankings, right? So Brooklyn is plus 200 to win it all still. Lakers plus 375. Clippers plus 600. Jazz plus 800. We have the fourth best chance to win the title. That is so cool. I mean, it might not be, it might be one-fourth of what Brooklyn's is, but it's still pretty cool. Milwaukee plus 1,000, Philadelphia plus 1,100, Phoenix plus 1,100, and Denver plus 220. How about conference? Brooklyn's minus 125 to win the East. The Bucks are plus 425. Philadelphia's plus 425. Lakers are plus 210. Clippers are plus 275. Means bet 100 to win 275. Jazz are plus 350. Suns are plus 550. Nuggets are plus 1,100 still. All right, so basically, the betonline.ag power rankings are Brooklyn 1, Lakers 2, Clippers 3, Jazz 4, Bucks 5, Sixers 6, Suns 7, Nuggets 8, Celtics 9, Heat 10, Mavericks 11. Knicks not in it. All right, so we'll see what the others are. Let's check our games tonight. What games actually have almost every... All right, so Phoenix is a 12.5-point favorite in Cleveland. Dang it. We really need something special there. Charlotte playing for play-in positions, a 3-point favorite against Detroit. Milwaukee and Brooklyn play again. That was an insane game the other day. Probably, I might have to rewatch that during the day before watching this one again. Milwaukee's a 2-point favorite. Sacramento OKC has no impact. Warriors and New Orleans play again. New Orleans had a chance to get back in this race and then laid another egg. They're really good, other than they just don't win games. They're minus 2 favorite. Miami is a 3.5-point favorite over Dallas tonight. And then the Clippers are a 9.5-point favorite over the Raptors. All right, let's go to the power rankings. That's all at betonline.ag. Promo code LOCKEDON gets you 50% welcome back bonus. All right, CBS Sportsline, they got our first spot because they were always the one who got us first. They have the Suns at 1. The Nuggets at 2. The Nuggets at 2 on the power rankings. Wow. Jokic went 26-12-6 on 50% three-point shooting last week. Bucks at 3, Nets at 4, Clippers at 5, Sixers at 6, Jazz dropping to 7. Knicks at 8, Heat at 9, Blazers at 10, Hawks at 11, Mavericks at 12, the Lakers, where are you, at 15, according to them. All right, John Schumann always does the best of anyone with his research and his time and everything else he does at NBA.com. We appreciate John's work and what he does. So let's go and see where he has everyone. Damian Lillard, by the way, was the plus-minus player of the week at plus 81. As the Blazers were pretty great. The West went 13-9 against the East. The West will have a better record than against the East than for the 21st time in 22 seasons. Easiest schedule at this point, New York, San Antonio, Phoenix. Phoenix is number one on the power rankings. They had a 124 offensive ranking against the Knicks, Clippers, and Jazz. Three top 10 offensive teams. That's pretty wildly impressive. Chris Paul went 15 of 21 on non-restricted area twos. That's insane. Philadelphia is number two on their power rankings. Ben Simmons is back. He says they're in control. When Ben Simmons played, they've held their opponents to 100.9 points per 100 possessions in 223 minutes. Number three, the Denver Nuggets. Over the first 32 games, the Nuggets were 17-15. Over the last 32 games, they're a league best 26-6. What was BetOnline AG's number on them? I'm telling you, I had them as like the West favorite there for a while. They're 11-1 when the score is between 5 in the last 5 minutes. It's because Jokic is the clutchest player in the league. And he's just simply unguardable. The other one is that they've started playing well with Jokic on the bench. They figured out how to do that. Brooklyn is number four. Clippers are 5. Milwaukee is 6. Jazz slipped to 7 in the power rankings for both CBS and NBA. No team has defended the Jazz better than the Suns, who moved into first place, completing a sweep, holding the Jazz to under 105 points per 100 possession for the third time. The Jazz had 62 drives on Friday. Their season average is 52, but couldn't turn those into many points at the rim. They had just 13 shots in the restricted area or open three-pointers. In their three games against Phoenix, the Jazz have averaged 15 wide-open three attempts against the Suns compared to 22 in their other games. Interesting note. John Schumann, Knicks at 8, Dallas at 9, Portland at 10. Let's quickly do ESPN. I don't really believe ESPN puts a lot of time into this, but since that they are ESPN, we feel like we have to. Let's see where that what they have everybody doing. ESPN has Phoenix 1, the Jazz holding at 2, Philadelphia at 3, Brooklyn at 4, Denver at 5, Milwaukee 6, Clippers 7, Knicks 8, Lakers 9, Dallas 10. All right, what do the odds say? We'll start with 538. We gave you the Bet Online ad. They have the Clippers at 26% chance to win the title, the best. Philadelphia at 20%, Jazz third best at 16%. Then the Nets at 14%. Projected records, they have the Jazz at 52-20 and the Suns at 51-21. I'm not sure they know that Donovan and Mike are out. So right now, they project the West playoffs to be the following. Jazz 1, Suns 2. Clippers 3 with 48 wins. Nuggets 4 with 47 wins. Lakers and Mavericks tied at 5-6 with 41 wins. Blazers at 40 wins for the 6th seed. Did I miss somebody? No, that's right. Let me make sure. So Jazz, Suns, Clippers, Nuggets. Yeah, Blazers at 6. Oh, Clippers, Nuggets, 3-4. Lakers, Mavericks tied for 5-6. Blazers at 7 in the play-in game against the Warriors. So Dame versus Steph, with the Grizzlies and the Spurs playing. The Pelicans only a game behind the Spurs for the play-in. So you could end up with Zion against Ja while Steph plays Dame. That would be sick. Over in the East, they have the 76ers 1, Nets 2, Bucks 3, Hawks and Knicks tied for 4-5. Heat as 6 with the Celtics playing the play-in game against LaMelo Ball and Gordon Hayward if he's back. Oh, that would be so good. Pacers at 9 and the Wizards at 10. All right, that is our power ranking. Our daily show, Locked On Today, gives you the day in sports in 20 minutes. Absolutely fabulous show. Make sure you go grab it, plus Locked On Bets. It's all there for you. Have a great day. Hope you enjoy yourself. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Jazz and the Spurs again. We'll get you ready for the second matchup here on Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.